Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
While traveling along the roads of North Mississippi, be sure to spot the Oil Drop logo for your next stop. All D's Oil locations are locally owned and operated. D's Oil, where there's quality in every tank.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, a new week, a new edition of the Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. Bob Kelly, Dima. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio this afternoon. And we're glad you're joining us. Andrew Abbott is going to be joining us a little later in the show. Catch us up on the never-ending number of football transfers that are rolling into Hattiesburg. We'll look forward to that. Want to remind you quickly about our podcast. You can hear it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in, YouTube, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. The numbers are very, very high, and we really appreciate everybody that tunes in to the Eagle Hour, whether it be on the radio or in the podcast form. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio, and the opening segment is sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. All right, guys, don't look up now, but the men's basketball team has won two straight, a really exciting 92-88 overtime win. Plus 20-point lead at some points of the game. That evaporated right there at the end. And actually, the Golden Eagles had to score a couple of times in the last minute or so to push the game to overtime. But they prevailed 92-88. And I'll start out with you, Dima. That's encouraging. Two wins. If you could win two of the next four road games, he thinks kind of the ship seems to be riding a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it was very obvious that when you get a player like Neftali Alvarez back on the court, it really unlocks the offense. And something we were talking about with Lee Roberts on last Thursday, and I apologize for my voice, but last Thursday was what happened if they could get both of those wins, how the season could shift. Now they're sitting 8-9. They have over 500 in conference. They play South Alabama on Wednesday on the road, but South Alabama just took their first conference loss this weekend to Old Dominion as well. So, and they were actually at home. And so seemingly, if they could play like that and put 92 points on the board again, obviously you may not get to 92 without an overtime, but put 92 points on the board, maybe lock down on defense a little bit better, but it's still, and I'm still on this board, until this team shows me they can win on the road, it's going to be hard for me to see them moving forward, making big grounds and gains in the conference.
Yeah, they've done really well at home, their overall record over the last two
or
3 years.
They lost one at home, I think.
Yeah, so it's pretty astonishing. That one got a little hairy though, Kelly, toward the end.
Yeah, the two games they've won at home have been barely, okay? But look, one is enough. One point is enough. But Marshall, who's turning out to be pretty good, was one of those wins. And with that 20-point lead, actually talking with some of the guys this morning, Bob, and we'll get to those interviews a little bit later this week, but they just said the first and second half were exact opposites. They were surprised at how lackadaisical they thought the Texas State came out in the first half and then had the wake-up call at halftime, and then it was the Bobcats that came out playing inspired basketball, and it was the Eagles that fell complacent, and they, you know, in many ways kind of feel fortunate that they got out of there with that one. A couple of turnovers late, not taking care of the basketball. And when you look at some statistics, I mean, the Eagles did a lot of things right. Six guys in double figures, scoring wise. Now, Texas State outshot them, actually, almost 45% to 41%. Which anytime you're in those 40s, that's kind of where you want to be. But Texas State actually, you know, outshot them mainly because of that second half. But it was the three-point shooting. The three-point shooting of Al Worrell and Kobe Montgomery, man, they really shot the ball well. And but it goes back to what we've said all along. If the Eagles shoot the ball well, different team. But if they go cold, they almost have no chance, you know, particularly on the road. And as Dima mentioned, going to South Al on Wednesday, it was South Al and Arkansas State. Arkansas State came from behind and won that game at South Al. That was kind of the marquee game last week. So this thing is wide open. Eagles are tied for like second place in the conference with like seven teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, South Alabama beat Arkansas State on Thursday, and then Old Dominion came and beat South Alabama on Saturday. One thing about South Alabama is they play with such good defense, so you have to really contain the basketball football. They're actually ranked 9th in the country in total defense, 9th in the whole country. South Alabama only allowing 61 points per game, which is very good. So if you want to beat them, you got to make sure you're taking care of the basketball and making sure you're coming up with high percentage shots. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Southern Miss was able to do for most of the game, especially in the first half against Texas State. And when you look at the stats like Kelly was just talking about, it was a tale of two halves until halftime. Southern Miss came out, took a 15-point halftime lead, 45-30, and then it just flipped on its head. Texas State won the second half 46-31, so almost identical. That's obviously why I went to overtime, and the Eagles came out prevalious there, 16-12 in the overtime period.
Well, here's something that I don't think either one of you guys have observed, and I think this is the key. And I noticed this Saturday. On the road, the head coach is wearing like a sweatsuit, like, you know, just normal casual wear. At home, he's wearing a coat and tie. They win every game at home. He trashes the coat and tie. They go on the road and lose. Put the tie on, coach. Leave the ties on.
Boy, Bob Getty has come up with a secret to success.
Superstition.
Huh?
What do you think? Think I could play a role there?
Let's try something. You know, and the guys admit that, too, this morning. They said, man, we have got to win on the road.
Right.
I mean, but to be fair, in any league, at any level, you have to be able to win on the road.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, across the whole Sun Belt, it's not like Southern Miss is the only team that's struggling with winning
right.
on the road.
Yeah, that's right.
There's only two road teams that even won this weekend. Every else, the home team won.
Yeah.
But these next four games really, I think, like you were saying, is going to shape the season.
Yeah, it's important.
You got four road games here against the top some of the top teams in the conference, at South Alabama, at Texas State, at Troy, at Louisiana. All of these games, and like we said, you don't have to win all four of them. Now, if they win all four of them, heck, I mean, that's huge. But if you just could split them, I think would just be huge, too.
That'd be a win, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
You'd still be over 500 in the league.
Going 2-2 would be a win.
And to turn right around and have to go back to San Marcos after they were here this weekend, that's going to be tough. So I think the toughest two might actually be the first two, only because how quickly they have to turn around from playing Texas State and South Alabama, you know, is going to want to get back, you know, on the winning track. Louisiana still struggling, even though they're doing better than they started the season with. And Troy is kind of an up-and-down team. You know, they had a lead most of the day on Saturday and wound up losing it. So, man, it's anybody's league at this point, and that's good news for Southern Miss, too, because the coveted 1-2 seed for the Sun Belt tournament, man, what you wouldn't pay to be that 1 or 2 seed.
On the other side, you know, you have to have concern for the women's program. They lost 77-68. You know, they lost a great player in Dominique Davis. I don't think they've been able to find that's a hard player to replace. You've got a coach that's really, you know, struggling, unfortunately, with an illness that is really battling. She's battling courageously. I don't know, Kelly. Is all of this just more than these kids have been able to overcome at this point, you think?
It would seem that way at this point. And there's no easy way to put it.
Right.
There's a lot of – I think they're dealing with more things off the court than they are on.
Well, they are. And, you know, and Malia Grayson continues to be a great player, but she's your only inside presence. So she's putting up remarkable numbers for somebody that's being double and triple teamed every time she comes near the basketball.
It really is remarkable that they know who it's going to, and she's still able to get the work
done. She's a great, great player. And but, boy, Dima, how bad are they missing a presence like Dominique Davis?
Oh, yeah. And she's not a replaceable player. You can't, you know, it's very hard to replace a talent like that. Well, I mean, but I really think the issues on the women's side isn't with the players. I think, you know, with a normalcy season, I think the players would be fine. But when you take all that off-court stuff, and something I've said on the show multiple times, basketball is such a mental game. It's just hard to run down the court and you're not seeing your head coach. You know, it's hard to run down the court and it's hard to even just practice, you know. And so, you know, they fall to 1-4 in the league, 5-11 overall. They're one of the worst teams in the conference. And this week they actually get to play the other worst team in the conference in South Alabama on Saturday. But on Thursday, they're going to have to host ULM, who they just dropped the game to last Thursday. So really interesting how the schedule works out, where you play a team 1 week and then you play them again the next week.
And I just want to make one final point on the men's side. You know, they did, you know, they got the win on Saturday, but we are becoming so used to Denaje Harris playing well that we didn't even mention him. right? I mean, another great game by, you know, Denaje, who 19 points, 16 rebounds. I mean, it's like this guy, this is what you expect from him, so it's almost a surprise when it doesn't happen. Right. But we've said, so goes Denaje Harris, so go the Eagles.
Right, I've got 30 seconds left, Dima. I'm going to let you just, Dima's voice is bad because he went to the Ohio State-Texas game at Jerry World in Dallas. I'm giving you 20 seconds before the break. Describe the atmosphere.
It was electric. I'll never forget that with my dad, just getting to share that with him and just being a part of that with him. So,
and Jerry's World, really a nice stadium.
It's awesome. It's really nice. It's a lot bigger in person than it looks like on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, had you guys lost, would it have been electric?
Yeah, it was an electric atmosphere.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, Texas was the – who had the biggest crowd, I guess, Texas?
Texas, they were loud. They were really loud.
I guess. Yeah. But it didn't help, did it?
No, it did not.
All right, Andrew Abbott, he's got his calculator out. We're trying to keep up with all the football transfers. We'll try to analyze that data next on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the program, campusbookmart.net, if you're shopping out of town. Also, hello to our good friends at Mo Bebeye Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page and go get yourself a wonderful dessert. Big announcement, we think, coming about a guest we're going to have, we're hoping Wednesday, but as soon as that's official, we'll release that. We think that'll be interesting to you. But right now, who could be more interesting than Andrew Abbott, who writes for Pine Belt Sports? And all right, Andrew, I don't know if you're a math major or if you have a really good calculator, but if you could put both of those skills to work and tell us, where are we now on the transfer of new football players here in Hattiesburg? It just seems to be almost a daily occurrence now.
Well, let me be up front and tell everybody that math was definitely not my subject in school. In fact, it was probably my worst. There's a reason I write for a living.
Right.
But last time I counted, and I just updated my transfer portal tracker today, so if you guys want to go check it out, go check it out. It's all the names that I know of. I think I added like six or seven more names. But last time I counted it was at, like, I think 26 or 27 incoming names, not including today. So I think we're in the neighborhood of 35, and there seems to be no signs of slowing down.
But, you know, and we've kind of poked a lot of fun at this, but this isn't really anything new. I remember the guys going to Media Day in New Orleans last year and coming back. How many, Dima, was it? Monroe had 70-some new players?
82, I think it was. It was in the 80s for sure.
Yeah. So, Andrew, this is just a totally new football team that's going to take the field in the fall.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you'll have a few familiar names, you know, Ty Mims, Kyron Heath, and Reed Jeselowski is expected to return. That was kind of the big news that everybody had kind of been hoping to see. I think I said Chris Jones. I don't remember, but you know, I mean, you do have like your few bright spots on last year's team are coming back, so that is good to see. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be a lot of new names and faces to learn, and honestly, I'm struggling to keep up with it all.
You know, Andrew, what is kind of a kick in the head for, you know, you heard former coach Will Hall saying, well, we're building it back the right way. We're building it back the right way, which would lead you to believe that this is an ongoing process. Well, I guess the right way doesn't mean a whole lot if indeed you believe that, because all the people that he was building back the right way with, most of them have, like Elvis, left the building.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain degree. You know, I do think, you know, when Will would talk about the problems he had to kind of fix off the field, that was definitely true. I mean, there were a lot of problems that Hobson kind of left for him to deal with when he bolts that the way he did. And honestly, there was some other off the field stuff that had been kind of just, you know, it was like a prolong of the inevitable with a few things. But you know, I do think Will kind of put it back into the place of, I mean, if Will had been winning, the success off the field would have translated easier. And so I do think in some ways Will did kind of make Huff's job easier by creating a stabilized environment and, you know, getting the GPA back right, getting them out of just different holes that they were kind of digging themselves into. But again, it wasn't enough for Will, because obviously he's not the coach anymore. But I do think Charles Huff's job will be easier because of Will Hall.
But the bottom line is, you still, like they used to say with the Oakland Raiders, just win, baby.
Yeah, of course, right? I mean, that's all anybody cares about at the end of the day.
Yeah, they can say anybody can say what they want, but the bottom line is, if you don't win, it all goes out the window.
Yeah most definitely. I mean, there's just, it didn't work for Will. But, you know, I do think Charles Huff is going to, you know, reap some of the benefits from it, especially from, you know, it seems like Huff has definitely kept intact a good portion of Will Hall's key freshman class players that he had been touting for a while. And, you know, I think, you know, there's going to be some good players from that group.
Andrew, is this one of the most anticipated spring footballs times at Southern Miss that you've been covering here?
Since I've been covering here? Yeah, absolutely. There haven't been too many. But yeah, I would say so. I don't know what practice, and you know, I don't think the media is going to have access the way we had for the last several years since I've been here. So I don't really know what to expect. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be an exciting, you know, there's going to be more excitement building this offseason than in previous years.
I see that coming, Andrew. I don't think that any of us are going to have quite the access to the football program that we've had over the last 3 or 4 years.
I mean, you could really date it back to Hobson. You know, I know Hobson had his restrictions, but at least we could go to practice and talk to the assistants. I mean, you know, from the way I've kind of seen it and heard it and kind of how it was, I mean, we'll get to talk to the coordinators once a week for 10 minutes, and that's going to be it. I mean, it's going to kind of be mum's the word.
Yeah, I think that's definitely
true. And that's old school versus new age.
But I mean, you have a lot of teams around the country that do it that way anyways, but you don't normally see it at this level of college football. But
yeah. And you see it, at least my experience is, you see it, and Andrew, you can comment on this. I've seen that through the years more with football than any other sport. Football coaches are the least accessible, generally speaking, of every major college sport. Yes?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's rare. I mean, I used to tell I'm pretty sure I told Demo, like, when Will Hall would just come and talk to us and shoot the breeze, I was like, Demo, like, not all folk like that. This is, don't get used to this. It's not like this anywhere.
It's not.
So yeah, I mean, we were kind of spoiled with the amount of access that we got. And you know, it'll be harder to find and tell cool stories, but mm-hmm. You know, if they're winning, I doubt anybody's going to really care.
Yeah, Will would just come up before a game, and we'd be standing on the sidelines watching them warm up, and Will would come over and, you know, tell us something that's important to know before the game, just so we would know.
We had a group text for this show.
Yes, we did.
But lots of times...
That is crazy when you think about group text.
Lots of times, I think it's the persona, particularly with the old school guys, they try to put that vibe out that they are crotchety, mean, stern, and somebody you don't want to mess with.
Right.
You know, as a way of kind of rubbing off on the players.
It's like staying at Nick Saban's VRBO. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
No fun. 3-minute showers. Isn't a spa. But those are the rules.
Yeah. And Andrew, I know you just came out with some breaking news on Ben Ashford. Could you just talk about that maybe a little bit?
Yeah, no, I literally got this maybe 10 minutes ago. It seems, emphasis on the seams. Southern Miss football has found its strength coach with Ben Ashford, kind of like the majority of the support staff and coaching staff had been at Marshall since 2021. So there you go. Hopefully that's, I think it's right from the source who told me, but I hope people will stop asking me who the strength coach is.
It's the you think it's the Marshall strength coach coming here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
is this not the first Marshall coach that we've heard of coming here?
I think it might be. And for you Gen Xers or
what was that?
I don't know what that was.
We're being overtaken by Martians, I think.
I think that was the wrong thing that I
But for all the Gen Xers that say that housing is really unaffordable, there are plenty of houses and rooms in Huntington, West Virginia.
Hang on a second. What is this?
We will return to our regularly scheduled program.
I think that's the new fight song for the Golden Herd.
Yes, we will return to our regularly scheduled team later in the show. All right, Andrew, talk about basketball for a minute. Two in a row, men teams, I think, looks better, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it before. You know, I've said it. If they can have majority of their pieces on the court, they're easily one of the better teams in this league. And we finally got to see Curbelo and Harris and Alvarez, you know, kind of on the court for the first time since maybe the first two or three games of the season. And they, you know, I would say they easily against Texas State played their best first half of basketball.
Right.
But, you know, I do think when you do have all three of those guys in there in some rotation, you see the you know, they're all veterans. You know, they didn't crack when Texas State made its big comeback. I mean, they held firm, and that's one of the big things I thought was going to be key for them. And, you know, if they can win on the road, they'll be in a much better spot. They have a tough game on Wednesday.
But, Andrew, sometimes it's what is frustrating to me as a fan is sometimes I think we get a little bit too cute with the basketball. Alvarez, for example, had that easy two-point layup, and he tried the behind-the-back pass that nobody was anticipating, including his teammates, and that 2 points turns into a turnover. Just mistakes like that can obviously make them better. Just take, you know, make the easy shot.
Yeah, for sure. I also think, though, and, you know, it's definitely a read-the-room moment. I feel like if he makes that shot, you know, Texas State isn't reeling back in. But, you know, in the past when, you know, Crowley was there and Felipe, you know, he'd make those passes and they'd hit the big dunk. Those big dunks are equally as disheartening. I mean, those are backbreakers, too. So I don't fault him for it. Even Jay Ladner said it. Of course, if he makes it, it's probably equally, you know, it does the same similar mentality mindset. So, yeah, but I agree with you, especially with where they've been at in the season. Just make your shot, get away with your win.
But Andrew, can you stick around a few more minutes?
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, Andrew Abbott is going to stay with us, Pine Belt Sports. We're going to talk a little baseball. It is one month from, is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
1 month from tomorrow is opening day.
Your paper chain getting really short there, Bob.
Wow, let me say that one more time. 1 month from tomorrow, opening day. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're grateful they don't hear what happens off air. I'm not sure Andrew will be coming back after that off air segment, and I'm not going to repeat what was said. Into Bay Spring Water, they're Mississippi owned and operated. Into Bay Spring Water is a natural spring from where, Dima?
Stone County, Mississippi.
Come on, Dima, pick it up. Premium water with what?
Unmatched purity.
Nothing stripped.
Nothing added.
Freshness you can taste.
Hydration you can feel.
Their bottles won't
collapse.
But your thirst
will.
And where can you find it?
Corner markets or with select Walmarts.
All right. Andrew,
that was without looking.
Yeah.
Right.
Andrew, drink some Into Bay spring water the next time you're in area corner markets or certain Walmarts. Andrew Abbott joins us from Pine Belt Sports. Andrew, I think I've got the date right. It's either the 14th or the 16th. I can't remember. But we're a month away. It's hard to believe. We're a month away from baseball season. And we were talking in my office. I'm used to this. I'm a longtime Southern Miss fan. I think probably the baseball team likes it. But, Andrew, how in the world, once again, can D1 not put the Golden Eagles in a preseason top 25?
So I got asked this on another show about people were upset towards Perfect Game. Honestly, I don't hate it. If I were to rank them, it'd be at 25. I just think, they've lost a good bit from that pitching rotation that, not quite enough to maybe put them in. And again, it's the preseason. Who cares?
Right. It doesn't matter. Right.
But also, I do think their schedule is, if they deliver with their schedule, and their schedule is so tough, they're going to get their credit very quickly. So, you give them 2 weekends and they're 6-1 or whatever with some of the teams that they play really early on. I don't think they're – whereas before, you might not see it so quick. This time, I think everybody kind of knows they're going to get their respect and credit that's due if they do what they need to do.
And I think everybody that really follows it closely feels they're up to that schedule. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Don't misunderstand. They're playing a lot of quality baseball teams, but the Golden Eagles can go compete with any of the teams on the schedule.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and maybe this is how D1 baseball saw it. I think the talent's there, particularly with the pitching staff. I think the lineup is going to be, hitting over 300, kind of like it was this past year, and consistent. Maybe about the same amount of power, which wasn't that much. But, I think the talent is there for the pitching staff. It's just a lot of unproven arms. And I think if I were to rank them, they'd be at 25. And I know people were upset about Coastal and Troy getting ranked in these preseason rankings. But if anything, that should be a sign that the Sun Belt's going to be tough this year.
Right.
I like the fact that Southern Miss schedules the tough teams. Particularly at the high school level, you'll see these high school coaches fatten up their win-loss record with just absolute guys that can't play dead in a John Wayne Western. And they go, we're 20-0. Dude, you haven't played anybody. Because when it comes to postseason play, you're confident enough in who you've got and what you are that you know you're going to be there regardless of the record at the end of the season. And a lot of those high school coaches that fatten up those records wind up getting bounced in the playoffs first round because they're not used to being in competitive ball games. Well, Southern Miss has always scheduled tough teams, and they've been rewarded by that by being competitive in the end when it counts. Now, I know that people are going, gosh, we need to make another trip to Omaha. I get that. And Andrew, I think this staff, even though your point is well taken about being unproven, man, I think this pitching staff it seems like I've been saying this every year for the past 4 years. I think they're every bit as good as a staff, potentially every bit as good as last year or even the year before. They have to do it on the field. But from a talent standpoint, I think it's there.
Yeah, no, I think if they play to their potential.
Yeah.
I think they can. I don't know about that 2022 staff is historic. But I do think it could be as good as last year. I do think they can have. I think it's there. Again, I just need to see it. That's probably what D1 was thinking. But I definitely think the talent is there. It's just, I think, especially with how tough this non-conference schedule is, I think it's going to come together, and it's going to be like, this is the second half of the season program, seems to be what they do. I think they're going to take their bumps in the road early on, but I do think if they get rolling, they're going to be hard to beat.
I agree. And relax, fans. Let me just go ahead and tell you right now, the first midweek game is against Mississippi State, and yes, you will see a lot of young pitchers. I'm going to make that prediction. Oz is not going to approach that game any different than he would any early season midweek game, and he's going to get those kids out on the field.
Well, one of the pieces of the puzzle you have to look at is the depth, too, of pitching staff, because pitchers are always getting hurt, right? That's why they're, that's why you get so many of them on staff. But I would contend that with the number of kids that he's got on staff, if two or three get hurt, you're not giving up a whole lot. That there are guys that are waiting in the wings that are, that have the potential to be every bit as good, if not better. Right. So that's the thing that I take comfort in, is knowing that this pitching staff is talented and it's deep.
Andrew, if you were going to today predict the weekend starting rotation, who would it be?
Oh, that's tough. And I think, for what it's worth, if I remember this right, I think the first week of the year they're playing six games because they have a four-game series to open the year, and then I think they have two midweeks. Mm-hmm. So I got to go back and check, but you know, they're playing potentially five, six games week one, so we might see everybody. But if I had to go weekend rotation, I think Friday it's Kobe Allen. I think he's the Friday starter. I think JB Middleton is going to start out on Saturdays. Mm. And I think Sunday could either be Drake Meeks or Cross Sibley, depending on whatever Oz is thinking and who looks like what in fall ball. I do think if Drake Meeks is on, he's a very, very hard pitcher to hit off of. I mean, he's going to be tough, but you know, he's kind of, I don't want to use the name that people don't like to hear, but he is kind of like Waldrop with the way his development has gone. If he's on, he's unhittable, and if he's off, it's a little rough. And then, you know, you can't forget Matt Adams, who I think will probably start out in the midweeks. And, you know, you got McCarty English as well, who I would like to see more of a mid-relief role, but, you know, he's got the experience for it. So, you know, they've got options. And if one of those versions of guys doesn't work, we all know that they can come out mid-relief, give you three or four innings.
No, that's right. I think, too, you, another big name you're going to see as a relief pitcher will be Baby Ock. I think the younger Ock is going to be a really strong relief pitcher. He really looked good at the end of the year. I think, in summary, though, you're right. There's just a lot of talent there, Andrew. And you can afford to experiment a little bit when you got this depth, I think.
Yeah, that is, until they lose a couple games experimenting and the fans voice their angry
Correct.
Opinion
Correct.
On it. But, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, especially Correct. Early in the season. You got to figure things out, figure that rotation out. And, you know, I can easily point to last year being a great example. When, you know, when Will Armistead went down, everybody was thinking, uh-oh, they're in trouble. And somehow the pitching staff got better.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, to Kelly's point earlier, they do a great job of coaching up these kids and developing them. And that's right. why Oz got the job. That's his bread and butter. Right. I mean, they're doing something most teams in the country aren't doing, and they're taking the time to develop freshman pitchers.
Yeah, you guys just talked about, you guys just threw out off the top of your head seven or eight names.
Right.
Well, there's seven or eight more that we haven't even mentioned.
And that's something that, to me, is something that's like, if we're like questioning a part of the baseball team, to me, the one area you want to question more than the other is the pitching staff. Because historically, the pitching staff has always had the answer. And they haven't, you know, just been so depleted that they can't compete with their pitching staff woes. You know, last season they kind of ran out of arms there at the end, but I mean, they still won the Sun Belt Championship. They still got to a game six against Tennessee,
right,
even with all those arms that were depleted out of out of that pitching staff. And this year, you know, I don't really think there's a lot of questions on the offensive side of the ball. It's really just the pitching staff, and I think by March or April or whatever, a lot of questions will be answered. But yeah, I think you are in for some growing pains, as always. Yeah. You know, last year that team lost to Marist, you know, in the opening weekend. Right. And not saying that's going to happen again, but right, there was some several early losses that really yeah set the tone to those growing pains.
But in summary, in Oz we trust. So, yeah. All right, last question, Andrew, and I think this would be the most pertinent about baseball. How many games will we be into the season before the fan base starts demanding that Travis Creel be fired?
Well, in my, as Dima pointed out last time, I did do a prediction of the year. And I put, I think, come April, but I didn't say they wanted Creel fired. They were going to want to fire Oz and hire Danny Lynch as the head coach.
Danny Lynch.
No, actually, when the ratings came out today and Southern Miss was not in the top 25,
they wanted to fire Creel.
Fire Oz. No, it was so it's already started.
All right, Andrew. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me back on.
All right. Happy to announce, I just got word Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Charles Huff, head football coach at Southern Miss, of course, will be coming on the Eagle Hour for his first extended interview.
So we get first shot at Coach Huff?
We got Coach Huff Wednesday at 1 o'clock is what I'm talking about.
So no other media outlets get him until we get him Wednesday.
Not that I'm aware of, Kelly.
Wow.
Not that I'm aware of.
Let's talk
about what you talked about off air with him.
The Eagle Hour, though.
He'll never come back on
air. He will not be coming back on.
We get the first shot. Way to go.
Tune in, 1 o'clock Wednesday. Charles Huff on the Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
I really appreciate Andrew Abadie contributing to the program like he does every week. Very grateful to Andrew. He does a great job covering Southern Miss sports. You can read all of his stuff in Pine Belt News. Is that right, Demon? Pine Belt News.
And honestly, that's about the only place. You know, unless you, like with Big Gold Nation, you can subscribe, you know, subscription services. But Andrew's about the only one that, I mean, the Hattiesburg American, they've had reporters in and out. They stay for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then, you know, the next
one. They need a good reporter, Dima.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Dima would be an excellent, yeah, I don't know if the Hattiesburg American would ever need a reporter for Southern Miss, but if they were in need, the guy's right here.
I could give him a recommendation.
Yeah. And I wouldn't, so that he would get the job.
You know, right, he doesn't want your
reference. That's what I'm talking about.
Just like he didn't invite you to the wedding. There are reasons for these things, Kelly.
Well, yeah, my ankle bracelet would have set off the alarm, I know, but I'm supposed to stay at home.
Yeah. Yeah. David, news and notes.
Oh, boy. All right, well, we got a lot, actually, and we already mentioned the basketball game, so I'll just scoot on over those. We already talked about those in depth. But the next Sunbelt MAC Challenge game was announced this morning. And Southern Miss is going to travel up to Ball State to play the Falcons on February 8th. I think they're the Falcons. Ball State.
Cardinals,
yes. Bowling Green.
Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Right, Falcons.
The Cardinals, Ball State on February 8th. That is going to be played in Muncie, Indiana. So, really cool trip, I think. I always like these non-conference games where you're playing a team like a Ball State or Bowling Green.
What famous talk show host/comedian is a graduate of Ball State?
David Letterman.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Okay. What didn't you know in the Golden Eagle Hour?
That's right.
And then, obviously, we all know that Southern Miss has also added 6 new players out of the portal. And I don't have a name on any of them as far as where they came from yet, and I'll get that by tomorrow, and I'll get on that track. But I know that there was, I think, 2 more from Marshall. And so 6 more players in the portal coming to Southern Miss. And then the Golden Eagles were not ranked in the D1 baseball rankings, which we just mentioned with the last segment. But a Sunbelt team was in Troy, so Troy earns the 25th place ranking it.
Who Southern Miss beat 3 out of 4 times they played them last year.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm with Andrew. I don't really mind them not getting ranked, especially with the questions in the pitching staff, because I think if you asked anybody, they would have a different starting rotation for the Golden Eagles. But like he said, if they start winning, it's going to be real quick. You're putting them in the top 25.
And coaches use that as billboard material.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think they care. I think they could care less if they're in the preseason top 25.
They're acting like they've been there there before, which they have.
And I think preseason polls are probably the stupidest thing we do in sports personally, but that's just my forte.
I'll tell you who I really feel sorry for with all this transfer portal stuff, and we really haven't talked about it, but the sports information directors. Normally, in the old days, a kid would come there as a freshman, and his biography wouldn't change, right? I mean, you put these numbers together, and you think, okay, I'm just going to cut and paste his picture from last year and put it on. Well, now, the media guide from last year is worthless because there's nobody even left, particularly in football. So Jack and Max and everybody over there at Southern Miss, every single year they have got to put together a brand new media guide in football with, you know, 70 new players. And it's not just going to be this year. It's probably going to be like that, you know, to a degree every year going forward.
Especially with the experience in the classification of a lot of these transfers coming in from Marshall. I mean, these aren't freshmen coming in. You know, these are juniors and seniors and graduates players, which means you'll probably have a pretty big significant roster turnover in the next year, too.
I would really like, maybe you can do this, Kelly. You know a lot of these guys. I'd like to get a couple high school football coaches on the show in the days to come. And I'd really like to get their analysis of what does all of this mean for your traditional high school senior who's hoping to get a Division I college football scholarship, because it just seems like from the outside looking in, all the scholarships are going to transfer players.
And with this new ruling that has tentatively come down from the NCAA, the big winners in all this are going to be the JUCO football programs, because if they can maintain all 4 years of their D1 eligibility while playing 2 years of JUCO, there's no, because in junior college too, you know, you get everything paid for, and generally at the D1 level you're going to do that too, but you're going to get to play immediately, and then when a school comes to get you, you know, they want you specifically to play a specific position. So the JUCOs, but your point is well taken, Bob, and I think, Dima, we've got what, 5 high school signees?
Yes.
For the football team, you know, next 5.
And 40 transfer.
Right. And normally you'd be signing anywhere from 20 to 25 high school kids, you know. So you're going to have to.
But the bigger schools are doing that more than the schools on our level.
Are signing more high school kids?
Yeah. Like the Georgias and Alabamas and LSU, they're still high signing. They're 25
to 30. Any other school?
You know, Texas and.
And? Ohio State. Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying not to mention them.
Michigan too. Can we mention Michigan?
Yes.
You can.
The team up north.
He can't.
All right, Dima, we're running out of time, but I want you to describe the Dallas Cowboy Football Stadium in a couple of words. I've always wanted to go there.
It's beautiful. There's a huge jumbotron. It's just ginormous, and you find yourself just watching the game on that when the game's right in front of you. But
is it so big that you have trouble seeing the actual live action?
No, but we were pretty close. But if you're in the, you know, the nosebleeds or whatever, I'm sure you'll just be watching it on the screen. But we were close enough where we could see. We were 10 to 15 rows up. So.
I got you. Okay.
I could only get in going through the double doors for some reason.
the service elevator.
Yes. It had a weight limit, though. It was problematic.
All right. You know? We'll be back. Charles Huff on the show Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We'll have a great show for you tomorrow as well. In fact, we'll be talking to some basketball players tomorrow, so tune in. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.